Hello, Cookie. How are you?
Good, mate. How you going?
Really well, thank you. And 20-16 against the Dogs. You're off the mark for 2024. What did you take from it?
Yeah, Nat, it's good to get off the mark, mate. It was always going to be a tough win for us, getting that first one, get the monkey off our back, I guess. And, you know, Bulldogs were, it was a solid game, but there's definitely a lot to work on for us. We completed quite well, very high, but at the same time, we're probably a little bit conservative and just building that confidence up again in our attack and getting that flowing again. But our D, probably the two things that come out of that is probably just need to definitely work on our discipline. Too many yardage penalties, which probably just gave them a leg up out of their own end, which is we're doing quite a good job of keeping them down there. So, you know, that could have turned into points if we were a lot better there. But one of the positives out of defence was definitely the way we defended our try line. We were put under a lot of pressure there, and that's something we haven't done in the last few games. Just showed a bit of resilience there, so it was a good sign moving forward.
How different is it this week, Cookie? Because there's nothing coming out of South Sydney. The noise is quieting down after 1 week. We know it can change pretty quickly, but you just notice a massive difference, don't you? When you start and you lose three in a row, the pressure is just on.
Yeah, it is. And if you keep losing, the pressure will just keep building again. And, you know, we're a team that has a lot of expectation on us when you look at our side. So, you know, that's obviously a good thing. Everyone understands we've got a good squad there on paper. We just need to make sure we get it moving. So it was good to get that first win out of the way. And like you said, winning almost, you know, fixes everything. And it was even better to do it on the Easter long weekend, mate. It would have been a horrible Easter if we lost that match.
Yeah, Jack was good for you in the centres.
Oh, he was outstanding. And that's exactly what we saw from Jack on the weekend is why South wanted him so bad and why we wanted him so bad, because he's just an absolute competitor on the field. You know, he competes on anything and he wants to win and work hard for his team. And it was great to see him, you know, bring his best to that game and he will moving forward. So, you know, I've loved playing alongside him in those games I had before South Sydney, but geez, I'm looking forward to doing that week in, week out. And he's someone that I'm going to look to as well and follow, because, you know, things happen around him. Balls hit the deck, but he jumps on it. He turns those opportunities into something. So, yeah, looking forward to, yeah, week in, week out with him.
Now, Cookie, we saw the collision, obviously, with Shaq Mitchell and Jacob Preston, which unfortunately resulted in a hairline fractured jaw for Jacob Preston. Now, in the wake of all this, our man Dean Bulldog Richie, sitting in the studio here with us today, posed the question of whether we should ban long kickoffs. I saw your comments on NRL 360 last night in relation to this, which I 100% agree with, and so does Loz, by the way.
I hope you smashed him.
So for those who missed it, just give us your thoughts on any sort of idea of banning long kickoffs or long dropouts in the game.
Yeah, look, for me, growing up as a kid, now playing the game, I think it's one of the most iconic parts of the game. Not just every week round game, but you think about Origin as well. If we didn't have that moment, you know, when I was a young kid looking forward to that first, everyone watched that first hit up. That was a big iconic moment of Origin when it all started. And I can understand, I appreciate as a player the thought process of trying to look after us players and find ways to limit these contacts. But I heard something last night, there's a percentage between, you know, the kickoffs and every other tackle. I think they only counted for like 3.5% concussions last year, the kickoff run. So I don't think there's much difference between those and, you know, a outside back returning the, you know, a kick return into a straight line as well, trying to whack him. So I think it's just part of our game. And it's a part where the likes of someone like Tom Burgess, that's one of his big strengths for us, is we put him on a kickoff carry, there's a good chance we're starting that set on the front foot. And that's just, we don't want to take those big players out of the game and at all either. So I'd like to see it stay. You know, I think we just continue to have a duty of care of, you know, looking after each other on the field where we can. But, you know, I think last week is, you know, we don't want to see anyone get injured, but we've seen those kind of injuries in just any other tackle throughout the game as well.
Cookie, I didn't write it because I want it to happen. I'm just considering the welfare of players like you,
yep,
and the current era because of the collision.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what we, like, we appreciate. Probably as players, I'm speaking probably for all of them, like, we all appreciate everyone trying to find the best interest at heart you know, trying to look after our welfare, for, not just during the game, but, you know, for after footy as well. But I'm just looking as, I don't see a way, if you change that rule, then we're, you know, I think there's a lot of the fabric of the game we will have to change then, because there's similar things like the kickoff carry where, you know, sometimes the fullbacks are under a high ball and you've got someone like Kikau rushing down and going to tackle them as soon as they hit the ground. There's not much difference there. If anything, it's probably more vulnerable to an injury than a kickoff carry when both guys understand what's happening and it's right in front of them.
Cookie, I have to ask you this question. I've written a column this morning about Latrell Mitchell and the constant booing. South Sydney CEO Blake Solly came out yesterday and says, I hope it isn't race-related. I have suggested that I believe there is an element of racism in the booing. I don't want you to delve too far into the political side of the game, but do you have an opinion as to why Latrell is being booed?
I think I'm referring to probably the Roosters game a couple of weeks ago. I'd like to hope there's nothing racial behind it at all. I'd really hope not. I'd like to think all that was an old Roosters player who's gone to South. And he is a big personality. I don't like it. Like, I could hear it, so no doubt he can hear it. So it was a bit over the top that game. But I'd like to hope that was just a one-off, maybe just what that rivalry game brings, him being an ex-player. But I still don't understand why the booing is. He's a big part of that team winning, you know, a couple of premierships a few years ago. So I thought,
what happened against Canterbury too, Cookie?
Oh, did it? Well, that crowd was actually packed as well. So, yeah, if it did happen against there, I don't understand why other teams need to be booing him as well. You know, like I said, I can understand the Roosters one being that rivalry and old player, stuff like that, but that was a bit much too. But if other teams are starting to do it, other teams' fans are starting to do it, I think that's a bit over the top, and I think it's off the back of sometimes the harsh critics and stuff he cops in the media. And I think a lot of the fans out there will believe every word that happens on social media and media, and then they probably build that sort of, I won't say hate, but towards the troll. So I think that probably fuels the booing even more. So I think everyone's got to take a part in backing that off a bit.
Now, Cookie, just generally out of the weekend, did you see the Jarvaria Hargreaves, well, so-called obstruction on Dylan Edwards? And how do we fix this going forward? Seriously.
Yeah, we spoke about that last night, and I think it's going to be one we're looking at trying to fix for a long time. But, you know, we look at the Jake Jovoyevich one we spoke about, and he stops in the line. Although he's not taking anyone out, he's stopping the line and changing someone. And that's we can keep that part black and white. But I think Hargreaves going, you know, 15 metres through the line, I think that's you know, fair game. You know, I don't think we can add next thing. Yeah, you know, I think that was I think that should have been awarded a try. So just to use those two examples, I thought that what do you reckon, Loz?
Oh, the Hargreaves one, mate. Oh, I was just couldn't believe it wasn't awarded a try. Oh, I was just shaking my head, going, "Just what are we doing with the game? What are we doing?" Yeah. But some of the other ones, I'm okay with. But unfortunately, too, Cookie, and I know coaches don't coach it. Well, I think coaches don't coach it, but I think players understand the rules well enough now that they know if they're in a bit of trouble when they're double D'ing, that they're going to run straight into a bloke if he's the lead runner, regardless of whether he stops in the line or not.
Why wouldn't they?
Well, yeah, that's exactly I can agree. Yeah.
Why wouldn't they?
We know the rules, and you're 100% right. Most players will know if they're in that situation, they could probably try and make it, you know, try and milk some sort of obstruction there.
Yeah.
So I think that's just where it's getting a bit hard to. Yeah.
And in a big game, I can understand why. And they're all big games.
Yeah, exactly.
Thing, you know, your jobs are on the line. Your position in the team's on the line. So
we look at like the top eight at the moment. Like, no one probably picked that top eight to start the year after four or five rounds. But that's what you mean. Like, every game is important. The games you lose at the start, you know, we know what we've lost already, but they could become costly. Like, the comp was already close enough, you know, last few years, but there's a lot of improvements in teams across the board. Like, even I know the Bulldogs haven't had as many wins a lot, but they were a much different side, diverse on the weekend, and then you see the Tigers as well. So you're starting to see those teams that were on the bottom four showing a lot of improvement.
Cookie, as a senior player, would you prefer the rules to be a bit more flexible, or are you happy with black and white as opposed to introducing a bit more interpretation?
Oh, yeah. I heard that last night, something about the bunker can have some discretion or something as well. So
it could be dangerous, though, when they've given discretion.
Yeah, because that's coming down to personal opinion.
Correct.
Week in, week out.
We hate black and white cookie, but at least we know.
Yeah. I can understand why they're trying to bring that part in because, you know, there's, you can see where certain players where you know players aren't going to get there. They're not going to make the tackle. Fighting that sort of discretion there. But, that comes down to personal opinion of those people that are in the bunker week in, week out. And I don't know how consistent we can have that across every single game.
What are you expecting from the Warriors as they, well, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck's back in the centres with Charles Nicol-Cluster coming back into that side for the first time this season. They're coming off a win the other day against the Knights and, Wade Egan, you'll be opposing in that side as well. Well, how do you see the Warriors?
Mate, they're a great balanced side. I think they've got a great back five at the moment. They're all playing well with Charles coming back in as well. But their forward pack, we've got a massive job for us in the middle on the weekend. Their forward pack are leading the way in field position and everything that comes with those attacking stats. Line breaks, metres gained, all that sort of stuff, they're dominating. So we've got a massive job up front to make sure we stop that go forward and give it back to them and make sure we get give our guys the right opportunities to get down there and put some points on. But they're playing a good brand of footy. They've been unlucky with a couple of losses this year and played some good footy throughout those games. So it's going to be a big battle up front. I believe that's where it's going to be won this week, and we've got to make sure we get off to a really good start because their starting pack especially are playing some great footy.
I tell you what they're good at, the Warriors, their selection of pass. So if you overread in defence, you get found out by the short ball.
Yeah.
And like their back rowers and front rowers go through a lot of holes.
I watched a bit yesterday. Their back rowers are hitting some real late holes, you know, especially off Sean Johnson's ball, taking a late pass, and they're getting in behind that fourth defender there and really causing some havoc. So,
how do you do that, defend that, Cookie? Because what they also do well is that I reckon they do it better than any other team, or they create it better than any other team. They always look like they've got a lot of space on that edge, like an extra man. Like a lot of teams run the same plays, but they always seem to be the wingers when they receive it. Like the defending winger is always caught in field a little bit more than what they normally are.
It's those set-up plays where they, where they're hitting short on those leads and front rows and back rows. As hard as those tackles are, they're the ones you've got to win because they're getting some quite quick play the balls. And by the time they shift it to the other side, the defensive line's not quite set. So that's where that's a very big important job for our five and four defenders, which are generally like your back rowers and one of the middles. They've got a big job this weekend to make sure they're winning that play the ball and slowing down and giving you that third man to get back and get the line set. Because if you don't, it's too quick. They've got too many skillful players that will just tear you apart out wide and plenty of pace too.
Have you got a tip for us, Cookie?
I do. It's a bit of I thought it was the Masters this week. I was going to give a Masters tip, but I'll
save it for next week.
Save it.
I will. What have I got this week? Race 7, Vintage Choice at Newcastle.
Race 7, Bindi's Choice, isn't it?
Yes.
Bindi's Choice, Tommy Berry, David Pfeiffer, $11. So that's race 7, number 15 today at Newcastle in the Provincial Midway Wildcard Race 2. So race 7, number 15, Bindi's Choice, $11 to win, $3.30 the place. Do you want to tell Cookie how your multi went on the weekend, Loz?
No, I was going to ask Cookie, though. The Warriors this weekend, make sure you bring your flippers. Looks like there's going to be plenty of rain around. Will that change the way you play?
Last time we actually played against them in the...
Oh, you beat them over there, didn't you? Yeah.
Over there in the rain. So, hopefully, yeah. We actually go... Oh, I won't say it now. I don't want to jinx it. But, you know, like, it does... Again, like I said before, that I feel like the game's going to be won in the middle with those forward packs. If it's raining, it just amplifies that even more because everything gets shortened up and tightened up just a little bit more. So, I didn't know what the weather forecast was, but thanks for...
Yeah, no, it looks like there's going to be plenty of rain around.
Awesome. Great.
Thank you,
Cookie. It's always good to pass the ball when it's pouring rain. It's always good.
Cake of soap. Thanks, Cookie.
No, thanks, guys. See you later.